First of all, thank you very much for the flexibility, timing-wise. No, I mean, not flexibility, but tomorrow morning, unfortunately, is not going to work. So I'm happy to do it now a little bit, and maybe a little bit shorter than it would have been otherwise. But I want to talk about something which I think is massively important. It's a Torah, and there's really a bunch of Torahs, but a very, very important Torah from the Tziv that is so relevant to say for Bereishis and this thought in general. I'm going to speak a little bit about the world of Midos and the world of tolerance and some ideas which I think are very, very important. And I want to focus especially through the realm of Midos, of I think what are some very intriguing and important ideas that come out. But as we said, you know, it's not just learning the Torah from the Tziv, but putting the Tziv in a particular context to be able to appreciate what exactly he holds. Let me begin as follows. There's a very, very, very famous comment of Reb Chaim Vital. Reb Chaim Vital is a great Talmud of the Arizal. And Reb Chaim Vital, we're saying, again, some very just important things here about Midos. The Bali Machshava, I think, struggle a little bit, trying to figure out the exact level of importance that the Torah and Chazal seem to ascribe to having good Midos. It's not entirely clear how to categorize it. We spoke earlier, you know, a little bit ago about the Chesed component in general. It's not clear how, if you were going to categorize things in your list of hierarchies, if you're going to put things together a little bit, where would you place the world of having good Midos? So I think that there are almost like three ways of saying it. These are not all mutually exclusive, but they certainly on some level do highlight different parts of Midos. Reb Chaim Vital in Shari Kedusha has a very, very famous, very, very famous line about Midos, where he wonders how come in the list of Tariq Mitzvos, so how come there isn't a mitzvah to have good Midos? How come there isn't a mitzvah to have good Midos? So his answer is a very, very famous answer. He says because Mitzvos are, there's a prerequisite before you get to Mitzvos. The same way that the Ramban explains for the Bahag, that Emunah is a prerequisite. That's why it's not one of the 613. It's a step before all 613 mitzvos. So and this svara comes up in Achorim sometimes. It says with Chaim Vital, having good midos, derech eretz, kadma la Torah, that before we could have the Tariq mitzvos, we first have to, on some level, have good midos. It's a necessary prerequisite for everything. He says, lefichach, ein ha-midos michlal ha-tariq mitzvos, Midos are not included in the 613 because hin hachanos ikarios el tariq mitzvos. They are the necessary prerequisite for being able to keep all of those mitzvos. In a certain sense, he therefore says that's why inyan hamidos haros kashim min haaveros asman meod meod. In a certain sense, not having good midos is worse than doing an avera. Because it's foundational to have good midos. It's foundational. In that sense, it is a step before everything. A step before everything. That's one mahalcha midos, the hakdama, the prerequisite for everything. A second way of looking at midos is essentially to argue that no, midos aren't the necessary prerequisite. Midos are in the 613. Maybe in the tariq mitzvahs, there is a value, there is a mitzvah, to be able to have good midos. It's a very, very famous comment of the Smag. The Smag, one of the Rishonim, counting mitzvos, says he counted all the los ases, and then he had a dream. And the dream, the image that he had was, it was told in the dream, Iku b'chalom b'maris halayla, that he forgot one of the averas in the middle of a dream. What did he forget to have? He forgot to count the Isser to have Gaiva. He forgot to count the Isser to have Gaiva. He says, I woke up the next morning, I opened up a Masecha Sota, said, whoa, Taka, I missed the Isser to have Gaiva, therefore he counted in the list of the 613. The Mefarshim wonder, but Loba Shamayim, who cares, he saw it in the dream. Some of the Achronim point out, no. When he woke up, it says he then learned Gemara Sota, meaning the idea came from the dream, but he then learned Gemara Sota, and he said, oh my gosh, Gemara Sota, it's pretty clear. There's an Isser to have Gaiva. That's like one, the Urayim may count a mitzvah to be an Anav, may count the mitzvah to be an Anav. But last year at one point, maybe even from the Makar of Moshe Rabbeinu, it was an Anav Ma'od, that there's a mitzvah to be an Anav. But for many Rishonim, perhaps the mitzvah to have Gemidos comes from the mitzvah of Dveikas with Hashem. How does a person have Dveikas with Hashem? It's impossible, it's so hard to have Dveikas with Hashem. You can do that. So Chazal say in a couple of places, the Gemara in Sotah and Daf Yadal, Shabbos Chacham Gadol, we quoted this yesterday, that Mahu Afata, same way that God is compassionate, you should be compassionate. The same way that God is merciful, you should be merciful. And a lot of that is a mitzvah to have good midos. We were joking around yesterday or noting, even if to be like Hashem, we don't say just like Hashem is no king. So Hashem is a vengeful God. Sometimes it punishes people. Your job is to punish people. We don't say it in that way. We have to identify, just like Hashem gives a tzivui to kill a Amalek, so too, you should give tzivuyim to, that's not what that, it's about identifying particular core midos, and that's what the tzivui is to have, with the Rambam quotes. So we have one mahalach, which is midos are like the prerequisite. In that sense, says the Chaim Vital, if you don't have good midos, it's more fundamental than vanga veras. It's more fundamental. But for others, it really is a mitzvah in and of itself. There is almost like a third way of saying it. Again, not mutually exclusive, which is a Torah that comes from the Gra. Midos aren't the prerequisite. Midos are not just a mitzvah. But maybe midos are even a little bit more than that. Look at the Gra. It's a Gra in Mishlei. Ki ma sheha adam hu chai, as long as a person is alive, hu kidei lishmor ma shelo shavar ad hena oso hamida. The reason why you are alive is to continue to fix better that which you have already not fixed in the realm of midos. Leficha lechein tzarich tamid lehischazik. So a person has to always fix their midos. V'im lo yischazik, lama lo chayim. And if a person is not working on their midos, then why are they alive? Again, in Evan Shlema, also, kol avodas Hashem taloi b'tikan hamidos. What's it? It's about midos. Iker chiyas ha'adam hu lehischazik tamid b'shviras hamidos. V'im lo avlam hu chayim. That comment of the Gra. The impression you almost get from the Gra, and this is true for maybe some Bali Musar, and maybe it's true for the way when they published the Rav's Shi'urim, on Mor Nevuchim, it may be true there also, that on some level, maybe midos are not the prerequisite or just a regular mitzvah. Maybe they're even like the ultimate goal. Maybe midos are the ultimate goal. That the ultimate goal in life is to become, or one of the ultimate goals is to become a person with good midos. Haraya, for many Rishonim, perhaps Rambam and Ramban in different ways, one of the goals of doing mitzvos are that certain mitzvos help us get better midos. So the way the Rambam says it, as an example, in the Mishnah and Avos, a very famous comment, HaKolafi Rov HaMaisa, if you have $1,000, how many people, how should I give the tzedakah out? $1,000 to one person or 1,000 different dollar bills, assuming that's the only two options. So says the Rambam, give it to 1,000 different people, because every time you give tzedakah, you're making yourself into a more generous person. In many ways, there are mitzvahs that make you into a better person. In that sense, the world of midos, it's the prerequisite. It's an independent mitzvah. It may also be on some level a goal of many of the mitzvahs, and a goal of a lot of our life is to be able to work on good midos. In that sense, it's impossible. It's impossible to go through Chumash, to go through Chazal, to go through Rishonim, and not think that the kinds of midos that you have matter so much. I was reading someone recently. He's like a real intellectual, and he has these someone told me about this, you read it in his writing. There's like an offness in the level of sensitivity and like basic midos. It's like an offness. And like in the beginning, he writes a lot of offensive things sometimes even with Makoros. And he'll introduce it with I know this will like really offend people. One of those like sorry, not sorry things. Like, I know this will whatever, but and the whole thing is like, as if that whole realm of midos is not so important, but it is. It's the Hakadama. It's a mitzvah, and it's maybe even an ultimate goal or a major goal on the other hand. We now come to the Netziv. The Netziv is functioning within that framework. The Netziv knows everything we just quoted. The Netziv is trying to describe midos. And in the most famous piece, it may even be one of the most famous comments of the Netziv, it is Hakdama to Sefer Bereishis. The Netziv, in looking at Sefer Bereishis, and looking what happens in Parshat Lech Lecha, Parshat Vayera, and looking what happens, throughout Sefer Bereishis, the Netziv, in this is a stam, an interesting thing. Amongst Mefarshim and Chumash, stam, it's good to know. There were, just like nowadays, there are those like Rishonim and those people that write longer Hakdamas to things, and there are people that don't. And amongst Mefarshim and Chumash, they wrote a Hakdama to their own commentary in Chumash, or wrote a Hakdama to each Sefer, and there are Rishonim that didn't. So Rashi, as an example, doesn't have a Hakdama to Sefer Bereishis. He starts commenting on Bereishis. Others, the Ramban, writes a Hakdama to his Perush and Chumash. So the Netziv also has Hakdamas. It seems Hakdama to say for Bereishis is very, very famous. It's famous. Famous for the following. It's Tzif is something which is amazing, and it's part of a larger discussion that we're going to try to define. The Tzif says Sefer Bereishis, and this is why I think it's almost like it's important to view in that context. Sefer Bereishis, the Tzif points out, is referred to as Sefer HaYashar. It's what it's called in Sefer Yehoshua, it's what it's called in Sefer Shmuel Beis. It's referred to as Sefer HaYashar. Wonders in the Tzif. Why is it that Sefer Bereishis is called Sefer HaYashar? If you don't know this, this is a cash card. This is a very, very famous idea. Why is Sefer Bereishis called Sefer HaYashar? That's the Avos. Call it Sefer HaTzadikim, call it Sefer HaAvos, call it Sefer HaChasidim. Why are you calling it Sefer HaYashar? So the Netziv says, I think part of what we have to figure out is what does the word Yashar mean? And what is Sefer Bereishis there for? Some of us know. Rashi asked the question, why have Sefer Bereishis? On some level, Chumash, elements of Chumash, these are a book of law. Why have all of Sefer Bereishis? Why go through all the stories? Why go through everything that's there? What's the significance of it? So Rashi speaks about strengthening our claim to Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban speaks about certainly Kari and Muna and other ideas that are relevant to that. The Tziv says, why is this all here? It says in the Tziv, it's called Sefer Yashar for the following reason. He says as follows. It says in Sefer, in Ha'azinu, Tzadik V'Yashar Hu. What does it mean? What does it mean, Yashar? So it says in the Tziv, there is a phenomenon which is out there. Upeirashnu Shahayu Tzadikim V'Chasidim V'Amalei Torah. He's talking here about the Tkufa of Bayasheni. Says in the Tziv, there were people that were tzaddikim. There were people, it's an amazing thing. They were chasidim. They learned a lot of Torah. Ach lohayu yisharim b'halichos olama. But they were not sufficiently yashar in the way that they interacted with people in this world. That is the pshat in the Gemara and Daf Test in Meseches Yuma, that mishum sinaschinam, the mikdash is destroyed. Why sinaschinam? They had everything else. They were holy people and they learned really well. There was a yashrus that was there. What is the hagdara of being yashar? What does it mean, sinaschinam? No one hates people. Baseless hatred. Sinaschinam. Nobody hates people for no reason. What does sinaschinam mean? It means you hate people for no good reason. No one's like, I hate him. Like, I don't know. I just hate him. You make up something else, you know? Racist, that's called sinaschinam. But I do it for a reason. Your reason's a stupid reason. Your reason's an offensive reason. It's not called a reason. It's called sinaschinam. Sinaschinam means it's baseless. It's not substantive, the hatred that you have. What's the tzitz hakdama? How does he describe it? Yashar. Chashtu esh misha ra'u shenagu shelo kedaitem v'yiras Hashem. They saw someone that was worshiping Hashem in a bit of a different way than them. They said to tzeduki v'apikores. They called him a heretic. Anybody like that? And sometimes you call people an apikores. So they're dinim. It's almost like causes shvichas damim because they're halachas in the Gemara Avodah Zarah. What happens with real apikorsim? Again, these don't really apply nowadays, but that's how they did it. And they said that's yasharhu. What does mean? Baruch Hu is yashar. It says in Parshas Hazinu, because Baruch Hu is yashar. Because Baruch Hu thinks you have to be able to interact with people in a smooth, comfortable, less one-sided, very strong and very feisty way. Their Baruch Shalom is yashar, and he can't tolerate that lack of yashras. Why is the mikdash destroyed? Because Hashem can't tolerate that kind of attitude. Says the Netziv, so why is Sefer Bereishis called Sefer HaYashar? Why was Sefer HaYashar? V'zeha Yesheva Ha'avos. You know what was amazing about Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov? Milvad Shehayu Tzadikim, V'chasidim, V'Oavei Hashem. Even though, of course, they loved Hashem. And they were big Tzadikim. And they did unbelievable things. Their commitment, Avram Avinu, is Asaris Yonos. Going through the Akedah, all that he had to do, Avraham Avinu was so holy, but Od Hayu Yesharim. They were also good people. Hayinu. And look at this example. Shesnagu im umos ha'olam afilu ovde elilim mechuarim. They dealt with even non-Jews who may have been gross, they may have been terrible people towards them. Mikol makom hayu imam ba'ahava. They got along with them with love. V'chash letovasam, and they cared about their best interest. Ba'asher hu kiyam habriya. Because this is about sustaining all of society. They were able to have a certain kind of attitude. Says in the Tziv, so what's Sefer Bereishis all about? Sefer Bereishis is all about learning from the Avos and the way that they interacted. Learning from the Avos and seeing how they treated people. Learning from the Avos and seeing not what are all the halachas? Not just what does it take to be a tzaddik. It's telling you how to be a person that's yashar. And part of being a yashar person involves interactions with non-Jews. It involves interactions with people who worship their Bona Shalom differently than you. And being able to be a yashar, being able to deal with it as appropriately as possible. The Netziv in his Perush on Chumash, the thing that's fascinating about the Netziv, is very consistent in his Perush on Chumash, and he will often reference for you other places where he talks about similar ideas, other places where he elaborates on ideas. Sometimes when you're learning the Netziv and Chumash, but together, you're like learning from like five or six different places, all putting it together. The Netziv points out, this is how he also interprets the Pasuk in Parshas V'Yeschanan, V'asisa ha-yashar v'hatov. The Baal Shem tells us to do that which is yashar and that which is tov. What does it mean, that which is yashar and that which is tov? So the Ramban has a very famous comment. It runs like that's something based on the Ramban, and all an explanation of what it means to be safe for a yashar. But Rashi says, Zepshara v'lifnim m'shuras adin. Yashar and tov means making compromises and going above and beyond what a person, strictly speaking, is required to do. So says the Netziv as follows there in Parshas V'Yeschanan. Ba'asisa ha-yashar v'atov. Odish la'asos. Gemilas chasadim ben adam l'chaveir ba'oso sha'a. A person needs to be sensitive, compassionate, understanding towards others, just like Yoshua established takanas. Ben adam l'chaveiro, a person should do what they can. Adam l'chaveiro, why? Shetvarim eilu shal gemilas chasadim miviyam tova u'bracha la'olam. These are things that enhance the whole world. People that can behave, people that can act in this kind of a way. The Netziv understands that was the fault in Korban Bayasheni. The Netziv understands that Yashar means being able to interact with people in a more comfortable way. You're over Hashem a bit differently than you. That is the Netziv in his Perish on Chumash. The Netziv's Mahalach is far more complex, and I want to try to just like elaborate a little bit. So please pay attention. It's a very important idea. We quote sometimes a Ha'ara. I think that this is the first step. Once heard from Mashkiach in Yerushalayim, Ha'ara, we quote this again. I think it's a very insightful idea. That the Ramchal Mesil Shasharim, when he speaks about being Dan Lekavschus, speaks about it like pretty deep in. Pretty deep in is being Dan Lekavschus. How come? Because there are two kinds of people that are Dan Lekavschus. Two kinds of people that are open to other people doing things. You have those guys sometimes that I don't really care about anything. So if I don't really care at all about learning, I don't care if someone doesn't learn because, well, I don't really care about learning. It's like, do your own thing. You know, if you're okay with, if you don't really have certain kinds of principles or values, so if you don't care, you're not invested about chesed, so if a guy does something which is totally ruining your chesed project, look, I don't really care anyway, it's fine. It's very hard to be dan lekavschus when you have actual values. When I really care about something deeply, and then someone doesn't do it, and I'm able to be dan lekavschus, understand where he's coming from, why he would do what he did, that's already very, very hard. That's a higher level madrega. That's why sometimes what happens, a guy that gets more passionate becomes like an ish ochlahu. A guy that's very passionate about something, he's just like eating people alive. Anyone's not doing what he thinks is ideal, he's fire. He can't handle it. You know, again, he's channeling, joking on Wednesday morning, he's channeling his inner Pinchas, you know? He is your Mashiach. He's fighting Melchemes Gog u'Magog. You know, you are the victim. And you're like, all I did was like wash until Saddam in the morning like three times and not four like the Gra. You know, like I think I'm like mostly showing him. And he's like Pinchas, you know, like he's going. Part of the Netziv, and this is what I think is important. I think sometimes there's two kinds. I think it's part of the godless of the Netziv. Sometimes we see a distinction between people who are part of the Maila of the Avos. Look at Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is so fiery intense in his Avodas Hashem, he is willing to shecht his own son for the Ribbono Shel Olam. He walked into a burning fire. Avram Avinu has principles. Mm-hmm. Avinu has ideals. Despite those, or connected to, maybe flowing from those principles, was also an ability to interact with a range of people, to interact with different kinds of people. That was part of the ultimate godless of Avram Avinu. It's not, you look at sometimes like, how could the person be a tzaddik and a chassid and a this and still have sinas chinam? The answer is sometimes when that rischa d'oraisa the Gemara described in Tainus, that when you get into things a lot, so sometimes it becomes harder to control yourself. You become a little bit of a more because you're so passionate and so fiery. So the higher madrega of Sefer Yashar, of the Yashras, of the Tzadikim, was that they were also able to have those kinds of interactions. That's at least a particular element of the Netziv. Now, what ends up happening? I want to like fast forward a couple hundred years to like 15 years ago. If you're an open-minded kind of guy, so these Netzivs are awesome. The Netziv in his Hakdama Torah, you know, is really, really great. Because the Netziv essentially, it looks like, you know, what happens? So there was a particular movement within, or maybe not within the firm world, depending on how you define it, that was being attacked, you know, pretty intensely. So one of the people was defending, he's part of this, a part of a group, and he was defending the fact that, like, why are you all attacking us so much? Have you not learned Netziv? Have you not learned Hakdama? The fact that somebody is worshiping your Ribono Shel Olam differently than you doesn't make him into an apikores. And even the Netziv, right, the Avos, were able to deal with Ovdei Kochavim Michu'arim with a certain amount of class. And the Netziv gets quoted sometimes, either this like very sort of sweeping, like pluralistic, like let's be nice to everybody kind of a thing. So Rabbi Gil probably quoted last week or an article relating to this, not as a response, but relating to it, which I think is really fascinating and really intriguing. And it was quoted as part of this discussion. Let me go as follows. Let's unpackage things a little bit. The Netziv. Netziv Rashiva Velazhin. Netziv is writing about the need to have good midos. Let's unpackage it. Number one, for the Netziv, is having good midos a prerequisite? Or is having good midos a mitzvah? Or is having good midos sort of the ultimate value? Give me a raya. It's a bit of a prerequisite, maybe. Sefer Yasser is Sefer Bereishis before everything else. That's why on some level it's a prerequisite. That's a hakdama. That's why it's there as Bereishis. Have good midos. But it's also not really a hakdama because he's also aware of the fact that there are people who sort of like get the other stuff and miss out on this. It is a hakdama, but he's aware of the need that there is a phenomenon of people that got the rest of Torah but didn't get the yashar piece. So it's first in Chumash, but when you're talking to people, under what's going on, the second Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, says Netziv, because people didn't get this. There are people, they missed out on this initial step for Netziv. And of itself is of massive importance. The Gil Prof points out as follows. Say this. When the Netziv says, or we'll start like this. When the Netziv says that anyone that worships differently, they were calling an apikores, the Netziv is not saying what? He's not saying that no one's an apikores. He's saying that calling everyone that does something differently than you is not an apikores. It means that if my roommate, I turn around on Friday night and he's not brushing his teeth on Shabbos and I'm a Ravadia person, I'm a rough person, then it doesn't mean he's an apikores. Doesn't mean he's not bikores. That the fact that someone behaves differently than me doesn't mean that. That's step number one. Step number two, the Netziv is talking about in the same comment. I'm always like struck by this. Again, it's not really good. We're still being medayik. The Netziv, when he's talking about being nice, read this line. It's like so intriguing how he writes it here. The Netziv says, "Av mavinu shehisnagu im umos haolam afilu ovde elilim michu arim." When he was dealing with the idol worshippers who were mechuar, they were gross, he still treated them nicely. Meaning, the Netziv is not saying they aren't gross. The Netziv is not saying they are idol worshippers. He's saying there can be a mitzias where a person can interact with someone who they hold is gross. They can hold that what he's doing is terrible. They hold what they're doing is undermining the fabric of society. They could believe that. I can still interact with him in a classy way. That doesn't mean that I can't chash with tovasim. I care about them. I care. The Netziv was not delusional, too bad. He was saying, I can learn. Avinu acts very nicely with Ephron in Parshas Chayisara. Ephron, they have negotiation. It's a nice interaction, Avinu has Ephron. Does that mean he was saying, Ephron, I think I want to honor you at the yeshiva dinner? I think Chasam Torah, a good kibbutz for you. No, Ephron was who Ephron was. The Avraham Avinu understood that I can still act with him in a nice way, and it's better for society, and it functions well, and I care about the guy, even though there are issues, even though it's not fully there. Rabbi Gil Pro points out that you find some fascinating things from the Netziv's own life and things he did as a manhig. Remember, we talked about one of the greatest of the Netziv is that the Netziv wasn't only writing a Perush Chumash, but he was also writing Tshuvas and a Perush on Shas and on the Sheiltos, and he was a Rosh Yeshiva Velazhin. He's a manhig in Europe. So you can learn not only when the Netziv writes things sometimes, one of these like big questions. When someone writes things, this is Stam Shiloh, you have certain thinkers that write things that are very, very wild. And part of the question is, so how much did that actually impact what they wrote, their day-to-day life? They lived like Rav Kook has some like wild pat. You wanted to choose three comments of Rav Kook, you would say, whoa, this guy probably lived like the least standard orthodox life that was out there. And then you like see him and it's like long beard, and his life, it's a frum life. And he's keeping halacha like totally regular and totally normal. And you have these like questions sometimes. Netziv, so what did he do? So you find something really, really fascinating. He says it like this. Okay. Following, this is, I don't think you see there. It's like one of the number ones because I always mess that up. Following, the Jews move to Eretz Yisrael and they want to in Eretz Yisrael. They're finally Eretz Yisrael. And this is in 1882. Netziv is at his peak in many ways in Velazhin in Europe. And what's taking place? The Jews are coming to Eretz Yisrael, agricultural. That's an era when they're Shaul Behetter Mechir originally. What's going to happen with Jews there in Eretz Yisrael? The Netziv fought to try to make Eretz Yisrael into, this is based on comments in the Sifri, which he has, based on his papers on the Sifri. The Netziv wanted to make Eretz Yisrael into essentially a halachic state. The Netziv is not looking for democracy. The Netziv is not looking for everybody to do whatever it is that they can do. He even wants to have officers set up to enforce halachic observance taking place in Eretz Yisrael. Shotrim is part of what he wants. People couldn't really handle it the same way. The Netziv wrote a letter and he wrote, we will not agree that, he said, I will not say that there's no need to appoint apotropsim to guard Torah mitzvos. It is not so. We need to have people there who are going to be able to enforce, people who are there that, and the Netziv says, I'm only going to support the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. On this condition, we do charity and kindness towards others. I'm only willing to support you if you have shotrim, you have people set up to enforce it as being good. The Netziv had these intense values, and he's not willing to have Jews in Eretz Yisrael doing whatever they want when it's not set up, the same way. He's willing to fight for this, says Netziv. The Netziv says like this, I'll interact with people in a nice and classy way. I'm not going to call everybody that argues with me an apikores, but I can't give my backing to a non-halachic enterprise. I can't say that certain things are okay if they're really not okay. The Netziv, in so many ways, was willing to hold certain standards and to say, I'm going to fight for certain things. When you put things together, what's amazing, and the Netziv, in Shulman, he can argue and argue passionately. So, again, it's abbreviated shir, it's not Friday, and it's abbreviated fifth of Parsha. But what you find is as follows. The chashivas of midos is clear as a prerequisite, as a mitzvah, and maybe even as a goal. It's really clear. What Netziv contributes to the discussion, I think, are three really important things. Number one, it is very easy. There are many great and holy people that don't have ideal midos. Sefer HaYashar, there are people, the mikdash is destroyed, sinas chinam, because they were tzaddikim, they were chassidim, they were lomdei Torah, but it's easy to miss that. That's point number one. Point number two, the avos, we could learn it from the avos. That part of having good midos is not calling them an argument, do not be kores, and it's not being able to, and it's about being able to interact comfortably and smoothly with other people. Not because you're not learning that much, that's why you're able to be a nice person. No. With all that learning and with all that passion, how do you interact with people is a dominant thing. But three, having good midos and being able to interact nicely with people, being able to be comfortable, doesn't have to color a person's ability to hold the line and to be willing to say, there are certain things I'm not willing to do. That was the Netziv. It wasn't good midos as the only value. A lot, life's a lot is like, is about balancing different things. So it's balancing the emes of Torah, balancing shalom, balancing good midos. But for the Netziv, it all has to come together. One of the reasons why, what's important to know, that a tziv would hold, if you want to know then, when do I invoke different midos? How do I know when to be classy and when to hold the line? How do I know when to be welcoming? So that requires a very broad understanding of all of Torah and of Metzias and of navigating situations. But ultimately, it's about being open and together, as the Avos did it. The Avos did it, not the kids that couldn't learn all day, like they really had good midos. No. The Avos were Yashar. The Avos did it in a very, very powerful and very, very beautiful way. And that serves as a model for us in that whole, within that whole sugya of midos tovos. That becomes something which I think is important, or at least a little bit of a hakdama on that end. I think